If you follow the coverage, even of something as high profile as the capital crime trial of Stephen Hayes, you will notice something, especially when it comes to issues like this, issues of life and death and these heinous crimes where people are forced, especially the jurors in a trial like this, are forced to consider ultimate questions. They will often use overtly religious vocabulary. They will express overtly religious ideas, and yet the popular media doesn't quite know what to do with it. Joining us to talk about media coverage regarding the religious faith of the jurors in the trial of Stephen Hayes, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a columnist for Christianity Today magazine and contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me here.
You've noted that casual religious conversation is not unusual at all for average people. Why is it that journalists just don't know what to do with religious-sounding language?
Yeah, it's something that's always interesting to think about, how prevalent religious language is in our day-to-day life, in our casual conversations that we have with neighbors and friends and colleagues and whatnot, but how it's almost never seen in newspapers. And sometimes it's almost laughable how, you know, the extremes that a story might go to avoid talking about religion. I think many of us noticed that during the Chilean miner tragedy, where the people who were trapped and their families couldn't avoid talking about religion, and newspapers kind of awkwardly, you know, would include it or wouldn't include it. And I think it's just that newspaper environments, the media environment, tends to be extremely secular. It's not something that a lot of reporters or journalists have in their background or in their education. This is why religion reporting is so important, just because religion reporters develop an ear for how to hear when people are talking about their faith and how to describe that and write about it. But I think it's just the extremely secular environment and the lack of familiarity. A lot of people who are journalists, you know, tend to be elite, go to certain institutions where religion might not have the same value as it does in most people's lives, and they're just not well trained in how to talk about it.
So what's the story we're discussing today?
I thought there was one story this week where the media couldn't help but include religious language, and I just thought it was kind of interesting. It was about the jury that deliberated the trial of convicted murderer and kidnapper Stephen Hayes. This was that brutal, horrible home invasion trial where a couple of men raped the mother, killed her, sexually assaulted one of the daughters, set the house on fire, you know, beat the husband with the father and the husband with a baseball bat. He somehow survived. They set the house on fire, and then the mother and the two children all died. And it was one of the more brutal crimes, you know, you've heard about in recent time. And the jury spent 4 days deliberating what the penalty should be for one of the men who was convicted, and they decided that he should have the death penalty. And when they talked about it later with the media, or when the family talked about it with the media, there was a lot of religious language, and the media did a pretty good job, I think, of including that and just quoting them, talking about what it was like to deliberate something dealing with the life of this man and how it was a spiritual experience for some, or what they think God has to say about the death penalty, or what they think, you know, the difference between vengeance and justice. And it was a good example of the media including these quotes.
I wonder, do you think it is a demographic or perhaps even a geographical thing? I wonder, living in middle America, it just does not perk up anyone's ears to have someone talk about where they go to church, or I saw someone at church, or even to be more explicit theologically, in casual kind of grocery store checkout counter conversation. You occupy kind of an East Coast perspective. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, there really are reporters who go to church, and there are reporters who have no problem talking about their religious faith. It's just that I think, in general, I think there's probably something to the stereotype about the coastal regions being less overtly religious, or maybe taking part in religious traditions that are less explicit. And then also just, I mean, I think that studies have shown that newsrooms tend to be much less religious, much less they don't have the same demographics as most of Americans in terms of how many people are Christian, how many people go to worship regularly. And I think that definitely plays a part in how people talk about religion inside a newsroom. And there's also, I think, I mean, this may be true in lots of cultures, but I think that many reporters and journalists tend to have a high degree of confidence in their own abilities, and they tend to think that they are responsible for any successes they have. So you're just less likely to hear people, you know, thank God for something good that happened to them, or thank God for helping them in how a story was done or whatnot. And so when they hear someone that they're reporting on thank God for something, it's not something that they can relate to as well, maybe, or it's just not something they hear in their elite circles quite as much. But I don't mean to say that all reporters are like this, because I've certainly met many reporters who worship and who use religious language and whatnot, and are comfortable talking about that too.
On the subject of thanking God, I was watching, of all things, the CMA Awards the other night, Country Music Awards, and I was struck by the artist. Some of these are multimillionaires. You know, they don't drive pickup trucks. They are driven around in limousines all the time. They live in a different world. But almost to a person, when the awards were handed out, these artists would begin by thanking God in general, some of them explicitly, thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they would thank him for not the award, but for saving me, for showing me mercy, all those kinds of things. And I wonder, is there a culturally, not just in journalism, is there a stereotype there that will completely misinterpret that kind of public and very honest expression of one's faith in their everyday life?
Meaning, are people misinterpreting how those statements are intended, you know, in the general culture, or what do you mean exactly?
Well, I mean, is there a stereotype at work that says, well, of course, that guy wearing a cowboy hat, he's going to thank Jesus?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things, like, I've heard so many people make fun of people thanking God for their success on award shows, and it's funny because it seems like the first thing you would do, you know, is thank God for some good that just happened to you, or you have a public forum, so you want to take that opportunity to let people know what's most important in your life. But that stereotype about the Country Music Awards exists for a reason, of course. A lot of these people got their start in music and the arts through churches, and the community tends to support and value that part of life. By no means are all country music artists, you know, religious or going to thank God or Jesus for their success or whatnot. But that stereotype exists for a reason, and I think also that it's widely derided in the elite culture. And it's one of the number one things you can count on in the gossip sites is people mocking people for thanking God at an awards show. And it really says something about what people think of their own success and their own talents. They think that they are to be credited for these things. They really are individualistic society, really values these things, and that bias kind of seeps through in our media coverage and otherwise too.
So in the case of the story you wrote about with regard to the Capitol trial of this murderer, what do you think was missing, should have been there in the coverage with regard to what the jurors and others had to say there?
The one thing that I thought was really interesting is usually when there is a death penalty case, you have much more discussion about whether the death penalty is appropriate or not, or what religious figures have to say about the death penalty, who supports it, who doesn't, who says that it's undecided, but they lean this way or that way. And I think because of the horrific, unbelievably brutal nature of the crime, and I think there were surveys showing that almost everybody thought that the death penalty was appropriate in this case, you didn't see much discussion of that. And the one exception I saw was something, there was some interview on the early show where Harry Smith asked the father of the woman who was raped and killed, the mother of the two girls. Her father is an ordained Methodist minister, and so the early shows, Harry Smith asked him basically, well, you know, you're a pastor, shouldn't you not approve of the death penalty? And he responded that, you know, that he did value life, but that there are some people who do not deserve to live, and this man would be one of those people. And it was kind of left at that. And I thought it was actually, I think a lot of people think it's just a rhetorical question, like, you're a pastor, you should oppose this. Well, there, you know, this is a very complicated issue, and it has been throughout the history of Christianity, where it's not as cut and dry as people like to make it out, either for or against. And it would be a good discussion to have about the death penalty, about vengeance, about justice, what our religious traditions have to say about these things. And I think because of the brutal nature of the crime, that was kind of glossed over.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a columnist for Christianity Today magazine. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.